The Holy Gospel according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophet Isaiah. See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. The voice of the one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. During Advent and Christmas, we meet some of the same folks every year, right? Who do we meet every Christmas and Advent? Jesus? Okay. I was like, I know I didn't preach for the last 2 weeks, y'all, but like, oh, we're going to have to do remediation, right? All right, so we meet Jesus. Whew. Who else do we meet during Advent and Christmas? Mary? Joseph? The wise men? Elizabeth, right? The shepherds? Angels? Angel Gabriel? Animals, right? Some creepy crawlers, right? And for the Office fans, Belle Schnickel, thank you, Stephanie Bouchard, for your contribution to worship this morning. All right, so we obviously meet the babe, right? This sweet Messiah, Jesus, right? The man, the myth, the legend, the one the story is about every Christmas. We have Mary, who sings her Magnificat, proclaiming that in spite of this absolutely chaotic and terrifying prospect of being divinely violated to carry God Emmanuel, she is rejoicing and honored. Joseph, right? We kind of sometimes forget about Joseph a little bit. He gets a little less stage time because he's not that exciting compared to the other ones, right? But, you know, he's there and he's at Mary's side other than trying to make a quick run for it until the angel told him to get back to where he needed to be. And then, like we said, the animals, the wise ones, the shepherds, everyone else. Maybe the shepherds or the sheep and the donkeys or whatever animals were there. Was it just last week we saw the friendly beasts and there were some cats involved in that story too, right? So that makes sense. So whatever animals would have been around would have been part of the birth narrative. But every year during Advent, we hear this story of John the Baptist predicting that Jesus will come to teach and minister and love and do all of the Jesus-y things that he is known for. And every year, I find that the image of John the Baptist predicting that Jesus will come feels so jarring compared to the rest of the other Christmas characters, right? We've got sweet Mary, tender Joseph, squishy baby Jesus, some nice shepherds, right? These nice magi, beautiful ornate robes on the magi, practical garments for warmth for these shepherds dressed for the winter night in the desert, the perfect soft blue headscarf for Mary and the white robe of just absolute pure bliss. All is well, all is calm. And then John the Baptist pops up in our scriptures, literally appearing out of the wilderness, right? So like coming through the woods, and he's clothed with camel's hair while eating locusts and wild honey. Now, we don't actually know what Mary or Joseph were wearing. It doesn't actually say anywhere in scripture that Mary had a blue headscarf and a white dress. But that's what we get on our Christmas cards and the sort of Christmas pageant standard. We don't know what anybody else was eating, but we do know that John the Baptist shows up like this wild man out of the woods, like some sort of odd character screaming, "Prepare the way of the Lord." Now, I've never been a huge fan of John the Baptist because of this, perhaps. His arrival onto the scene always feels a little bit out of place compared to the rest of our season's feelings. I mean, could you have imagined if in our typical Christmas pageant or like the friendly beast that we had last week, if you had wild Uncle Steve dressed in fur, shoveling bugs and honey into his mouth, yelling, "Get ready, y'all, Jesus is coming!" It would be a very different Christmas pageant, right? Y'all would be like, "What version are you guys doing?" And if this happened, I'd probably forget about those sweet angels and sheep and just go home wondering about that weird kind of fur-clad guy. But this is what happens. And our scripture stories, the way that we hear the stories this time of year, because John the Baptist appears as a message of warning, of foreshadowing, of promise, of telling people, the people like you and me, that Uncle Steve, that weird guy, he's telling them that there is one more powerful, more loving, more knowing, more is coming. John the Baptist shows up to warn people, yes, but to clear the path, to shovel the snow, to blow the leaves, to fix the rocks, to sprinkle sand grit down on the ice, to plant the seeds, to water the earth, to prepare the way and make the path clear for Jesus Christ to come into our lives. Now, as I said, I often picture John the Baptist as wild Uncle Steve coming out from the woods with honey drool kind of dripping down his chin with a little bit of wings in there, maybe a little exoskeleton. But I need to hear this story to be reminded that Jesus Christ was not born in a vacuum, but into a community of people who were anticipating his arrival, both as this sweet baby who would be held in his mother's arms and as a full-grown adult who would wear sandals while he walked from village to village, teaching people and loving people. Jesus was born into an existing community of people who were human beings. They were having bad days when Jesus was born. They were having stressful days. They were having days where they were yelling at each other and they were hungry or tired or just overwhelmed or overstimulated by all the noise, right? Those were the people that Jesus was born into the world for and with. They were people who felt like they had too much on their plate and not enough time to get it all done. They were people who struggled in their relationships with their family, their friends, maybe even their government. Remember, sweet Mary and doting Joseph were taking a road trip to Bethlehem because they needed to be counted in a census by a governor during a time where once their baby was born, King Herod would call for the death of all male children who were 2 years old and younger. I don't know about you, but living in that type of world with that type of leadership would make me convert to anarchy real fast, because that's the type of government they were experiencing. Now, sometimes Advent feels a little weird when we say we're anticipating the birth of Jesus Christ in our lives, as if we actually know a woman named Mary, Mother of God, who is waddling her way to Bethlehem as we speak. Sometimes we sell it as if we know her carpenter husband is worried about spending the holidays with his in-laws and a new baby. But we anticipate the birth of Christ not in a literal physical way any more than John the Baptist wants us to physically move the rocks out of the road for Jesus. We're invited to think about what hearing this message of the Savior born 2,000 years ago and who died about 1,967 years ago means for each one of us today, in this moment, in this time. And what we might want to clear out of the way to make room for Jesus in our lives today. I often think of Advent like Lent, that time leading up to Easter when many of us give up something or we take on a spiritual practice to sort of get into the mode of waiting for Christ's resurrection in our lives. I think words like wait or prepare, point our attention to the spiritual practice of making space for the message of the birth of Jesus Christ for each one of us every day. Prepare the way of the Lord, wild Uncle Steve, John the Baptist says. What's in the way of God in your life right now? What's blocking the path or clogging up your memory or keeping you weighed down? What lies between you and Bethlehem right now? What has you rushing and going and running and thinking nonstop without a moment to breathe? What holds you back from anticipating the gift of Jesus Christ in the quiet stillness of your heart, and not a loud parade with fireworks, but in the early morning before the day has even started? O come, Emmanuel. Open wide our heavenly home. Make safe the way that leads on high, and close the path to misery. Thanks be to God. Amen.